A lot more than the people living in the Oriental country, because no leisure, then there's no time to think even of life also. See? Because everybody or every community competing each other to get more advancement. So the important point is to get material advancement in their research, in their work, in their production. So they are doing all the time thinking for getting advancement. So these things are running very, very fast, very, very heavy. So every individual living in society, they have to go along with the function of society, and then the society also produce very, very good machines, very good industries, and rate of production, and rate of quality control, and so on and so forth. So every individual hasn't got time to think about the nature of existence, nature of physical being, nature of pain or nature of mental pain or physical pain, but they have to keep up with the moving speed of the society. So, as you explained, that is quite different from the Oriental social setup and the Occidental social setup. And then a kind of blessing we inherited from our forefathers, we still maintain in our Myanmar, as well as some other neighboring countries, Thai or Malaysia or these people, because we still maintain the hereditary way of keeping our life. See, for example, in Western countries, each and every family is rich. Only husband and wife are real partners. And the mother and father also live by themselves, and then the children also, when they become the age of 18 or 20, they get away from the mother and father. So these two persons living together and struggling and working and so on and so forth. So material environment, as you have mentioned, so television, see, and then the telephone and every modern gadget to give them physical comfort. But actually, they have the human surrounding. That means, really, personally, attached person are not very much. That's only two of husband and wife. So, that is the thing really happening. Majority of the people in Western countries are living like that. But here in this country, in Myanmar, see, under the same roof, grandpa and grandma living at the top of the house, and then mother and father and grandchildren or son and daughters, we living together, sharing life, discussing our daily life problems. And at the same time, old grandpa and ma telling the story to the grandchildren about their experience, about their religion, about their life, and about their faith, and so on. So as for the body, mostly telling about the Dhaka stories of our Lord, our Buddha, see? So these are the benefits the children are receiving. The knowledge, the experience from their grandpa and ma. Not only what, not only that fulfilled and became, because they are also receiving the one and the nectar of that grandpa and ma. And then the mother and father also quite safe to go to their shop every day, because the house is in the hands of grandpa and ma, and the children are also living under the control of the grandpa and ma. So the family unit, at least if we can say that, three generations are living together and the same life, sharing each and every person's suffering and pain, as well as happiness also. This is the kind of unit what we are receiving from our grandpa and ma and our ancestors. See? So we just can live. So that means what? We have human environment quite warmly and happily to live together under the same roof. Yeah, this is the advantage of our Oriental country as well as our hereditary and our culture. See? That's it.
But whatever social system we have, it is very evident that the social system, how good it may be, will never really eradicate the dukkha from the people's life. We can dream about ideal social systems, still the dukkha will be always present, presenting factor in everybody's life. It is completely impossible to eradicate those subtle kinds of dukkha you spoke about just a few minutes ago. We can perhaps increase the bodily comfort due to the luxurious flat, due to the perfect medical supplies in the hospitals and so on, but what the Western world really didn't succeeded in is to lessen or reduce the mental sufferings, which are much more subtle than some obvious bodily pains, but because they can go on many years, in the end the mental dukkha of isolation, mental dukkha of long-term depression, suffering of loneliness of young people and of old people, all these things are still predominant in the Western society. Now in America, almost everybody is going to some kind of psychological help for some therapy, looking for help wherever they can get it. Of course, the psychiatrist or the therapist may provide some temporary relief of symptoms which are very oppressive to the person. But when you look closely to the effect of the psychiatric or therapeutic healing, what usually happens is just displacing of some problems to some another field. So then it appears non-existent in the beginning, but after one or two years you have the same person at the psychiatrist again. It's slightly different system. Western people are not stupid. They have realized this. Many of the Western people have realized that there is some deeper problem in the root of the being itself. Many of them have turned towards spiritual practice of meditation. They are looking now more and more for solution of their personal problems in the fields of meditation. The meditation now is booming in the West. The Western people approach the Vipassana meditation mostly from the angle of jnana, or looking for wisdom, looking for the liberating insight in the wisdom, in the meditation. This is, of course, a gross one-sidedness. Western yogis lack generally the appreciation of another field of training, which are in the Buddhist countries very well observed. I am speaking about the dana, generosity. I am speaking about the whole field of sila, which prepares the whole person for higher degrees of meditation. Also the factor of devotion, which is generally disliked by the Western yogis, actually signifies a lack of gratitude towards the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So the interest for meditation is in the Western society very young. It's in the childhood problems. Yes. It did not grow out of the childhood age. But with the spreading of the interest for meditation, I have realized that more and more people start to understand the process of meditation in a more holistic way, that also this factor of sila, the factor of dana, and the sila, and the whole process of taking refuge towards all three gems of the Buddhist teachings, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So we have a sign in the Western society that the whole approach of the Western people is now getting more better foundation. And so I have lots of actually confidence into the development of the Western Sangha. Now, in this time, we have already Western bhikkhus. Western bhikkhus, they have sometimes over 20 vasos. They are already Mahatheras. These Western bhikkhus are giving ordination to new Western yogis or Western samanera in England. Yes, we can say that the Buddha Sasana has taken root in the Western society already. But of course, it's a long way to go. But as you said in the very beginning, your society is looking for modern ways, for ways of presentation of Buddha's teachings in the way which is appealing to the people of this age. I think this is very important, especially with the Western people. They have a different culture. Their mind is based on many scientific it has lots of scientific thinking in the base. So many Western people approach the Dhamma through things which can be proved. They always ask for the proof of things. Western people have lots of problems with sufficient saga. They always want first to have a tangible proof. Fortunately, Lord Buddha presented his teaching exactly in this way. Come and see. The Dhamma itself is acarital. The result does not wait. When there is a mugga, there is immediately the experience of the result of the follow. And people who are very serious in their approach to the Dhamma, they can experience the results immediately.
So, now, the wall or the planet Earth is very small for the people or inhabitants of Earth, because we can communicate each other, although we are living quite apart. But now today, we can see, as you have explained, the nature of the Buddha teaching, as well as the meditations are growing. And one of my friends, a few days ago, I met him there. He is working in one of the embassies in our country. He is a commercial officer. So he was invited by his embassy, and he went to England, and then he attended the training course. After finishing the training course, different from the different parts of the war, all other representatives of the commercial officers also meeting together, and then the convener requests to give each and everyone any subject they like, and then just for a short talk to give each other exchanging to give tea. So our friend from Burma, he actually is the compass. See? He was a Christian, and then he was not Myanmar. He is also one of the tribes of the Indians. He's not Burmese. But even this, he requires well-versed in Myanmar and educated in Yangon University, so it's a quite well-informed. And at the same time, he compassed to the Buddha. See? Because at the very beginning, he was a Christian, but when he think about the nature of the setup of the Christianity, it doesn't give him the complete satisfaction of the explanation of the existence and so on. So he came towards the Buddhism by himself. And then after being a Buddhist, he tried to study all the books available around him, and then he studied Abhidhamma, and three times he repeated the Abhidhamma. So he was theoretically very thorough. And then when he got the chance to talk, so he took the subject to talk about Buddhism and Buddhism. Hiravada Buddhism and Myanmar. He explained his particular knowledge of Buddhism, and he explained that he originally Christian, he converted by himself, and then he learned Buddhism from the environment and from the Burmese preachers and so on, and then he explained details what he knows. So every participant is quite enthusiastic with explanation about the Buddhism. And then they also tell that your talk is very good and wonderful. And then someone came to him and so he asked to tell that, see, do you know which religion is growing fast in England? Dear brother, I don't know. Buddhism is the first growing religion in our country. So what is explained by the English? So this is really happening in that country, So, hearing these messages, we're quite happy. And the same thing, so we are trying to give that information, Because it's not actually teaching, because we have a short period of, to get contact with the people in the West. So whenever they come to our country, they want to know, so we can get a short explanation through the video or the text or so on. We are trying to provide for them for short course. If they can spend longer time, for 10 days or 1 month or so on, that also we are going to give this kind of explanation. That's a new approach, new method of studying Buddhism. Theory as well as practical part of meditation. So this is the aim of our society. Yeah? So now when we are going to continue the way how we are going to
Dhamma, law of Dhamma. The law of Dhamma is actually law of nature, natural law. But the term natural law, when the people in the West, when they use, mostly they look upon the function of material things, material functions, and material laws only, they think that is natural law. But from our Buddhist point of view, the material things are also, they have their own laws, physical law, chemical law, biological law, and so on. And then the other side, mind, is also its own law, mental law, and so on. So these things, according to human being, mind and matter, body and mind, they are working together. So from our point of view, we don't try to separate which part is mental alone and which part is body alone, because we are working all the time together since the very beginning of our conception up to the very moment. See, up to this moment, we are working together. So we can distinguish the work of mind. At the same time, we can distinguish the work of physical body. So, now as we have discussed at the very beginning of our discussion, this physical body is set up with the complete system of the nervous system and respiratory system and blood circulatory system and so on and so forth. From the Buddhist point of view, these systems are very, very delicate, and then we call the Ahamadya Rupa process, because continuously karmic energy or karmic force is trying to catch proper function of each and every organ. So these are very, very interesting things. From the physiological point of view, when we look upon the digestive system, the food, what we eat every day, contains a lot of the protein, fat, carbohydrates, and so on and so forth. These are the things getting into our stomach, and stomach digested, and after digestion, metabolic functions are working, its own process, and through the blood, these food and nutrients to each and every tissue and every cell with the oxygen and so on. Now, to get the right protein molecule and the right place. So different kinds of proteins are in this body supplied by our food. But the wonderful thing is, so although it's a protein, the brain cells, they need their own necessity. See? It's a kind of protein. See? And then so the muscles, they need different things. But these are going in proper place, proper protein. See that? So that's also explained by the physiologists, by the chemical way they are putting us from our Buddhist point of view. Not only the physical, the karmic energy is also helping in every process to get every necessary protein properly to get into the stomach place. This is the process from our point of view. Yeah? So
to fasten its physical body as well as the mental body to together, we need four continuous supply energy. You want it? Tamic force or tamic energy is supplying or supporting for this function. The primary one is calling climatic control over this body and mind. This is one process. See? Climbing. This is also one important control over this mind-body function. Climbing. And the second one is the food and nutrients. This is the second. And then, after that, when these particles or these cells, they get the requirements from the physical environment. For example, air. Air is the product of the material environment through the process of cleansing. But the term cleansing from our Buddhist view, we call that is called dhatu. Dhatu means that it's some energy. Yes? But nowadays, the energy, not only the some form, the other forms are also working. The acid chemical energy, and then the electrical energy, and so on. These energies are supplying or supporting factors to continue this mind-body system that we call climatic control. Yes? And then the climate produces the environment. The whole botanical kingdom, the trees and plants, produce food and nutrients, protein as well as the carbohydrates. See? So our physical body cannot make food directly from carbon dioxide in water just the plants are producing. As for the plants, they can produce their own food from the and raw material like carbon dioxide and water vapor and presence of the green coloration of chlorophyll, and then with the help of the ultraviolet rays, they produce the first glucose and then transform into sucrose and then become carbohydrate and other protein also they are producing. They have their equipment. But as for the green being, it's not produced. They have to depend on the product of the bottom gets in them. So when we get the food, sugar, cholesterol, carbohydrate and protein, so we eat every day in the form of solid food. See? In the form of solid food. And this solid food probably gets into the digestive system and after the digestion that I have explained to you that eating every necessary part of the body, eating every tissue, what they require and what they need, and supply them the oxygen and protein and carbohydrate and so on. And then, this kind of uniqueness of the function and supply from our point of view, controlling factor, it's stomach factor, continuously controlling, we look upon that way. After that, only it comes another mental function. Yes, mind is also cooperating for the existence of the body. Because when this physical body is in need of food, physical body calls for food, but it's not extreme. But if there is in terms of hunger, the feeling of hungry is not a physical term. It is mental. Mind is barely the need of the body in terms of hunger, in terms of feeling. So this is the point of the cooperation of physical body and mental body. Mental body is helping to supply the needs of physical function. So this is the thing. Yeah? So just like the pain, just like the pain of the other part of the body, when this system of the body is in need of the food, it is carried in terms of hunger. The same time it needs the water, see, in terms of thirst, standing there. So this wonderful physical body is composed of four fundamental things. See, one is a solid state, the other is liquid state, and the third is gaseous state, and the fourth is energy state. See, these four things are to get that kind of balance adjustment, see, climate control, food control, stomach control, and mental control. They are getting every time when they are in terms of their own way, they are going on and on. Now, one point, what we have to think about, the nature of relation between stomach food and physical function, how they are relating and how they are functioning. Yeah? That's also one important point. Yeah? As for your eye, as for your ear, yeah? Your eye is just completely good. See? So you can see it. Your ear is also very good. Therefore you can hear every voice, every sound. So, now, to be a perfect state of the eye, perfect state of the ear, so out of the food process, stomach process is very, very important. See? Stomach process is protecting all the time these, the eyes and ears. The receptor in the receptor to be perfect all the time has been by stomach food. That is, stomach food is controlling the physical process, and these are called stomach rupa. Samajata rupa. Samajata rupa. And then when they are completely perfect, and then you get the sensation of sight at your eye. See that? Sensation of sight is only the term and physical. But you have seen also. See? Seeing, the term seeing, represents not physical alone, but mental also involved in the term seeing. Is this point? Yeah. So seeing has two parts. It's the image. See? The other is the mind. See? That the mind makes you cognitive sight. To make it seeing the picture of the image. So when you see something, two things are simultaneously working together. One side is mental, the other side is physical. Physical side is producing continuously the image. Here, and then mental side is also proceeding to make it awareness, seeing, or cognition of sight. So both are working. And from our Buddhist point of view, each and every moment, seeing is not the long time, correct? One moment after moment, seeing is continuously. Physical pictures are also one picture after another picture, new pictures come into your retina, and at the same time, each and new moment is also combining new picture and produce new scenes. This is the flux, and this is continuous function of scenes. Yeah, from our point of view, which is now the point is, each and every moment of me
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like Afi, a putting sin. We put pussy causing when you are not that too. When you are not that too. That when you are not that too is occurring at the eye. So we call it that cool when you are not that too. Or the mind is the eye producing mind. So that mind, every time it comes into existence, just the help of coming in that being. Something false. You see the point? You can every mental, all mental mental movement. You see that? Right in contact with the coming in that. Produce one after another, moon, mind. Moon of mind. So the example is like this. When we look up, we see the electric light. Electric light is the just because of the electric current coming through the filament. As long as the electric current is passing through the filament, there is the light. The light is the product of the electricity. See? Electricity is the new energy transformed into light energy. So the point, what we like to first give, electricity also continuously supplying as long as electric current is going on, there is the light. So two are forming continuously on and on. You get the point now? Now we want to change the word to the mental pressure. See that? When we are seeing new movements of mind, each and every breath, mind, supplied by coming energy, just like electric current. It's a continuously supplying chemical energy and continuously new chakra when you are not there too. One after another, continuously coming and appearing, so on and so forth. So this is our way of interpretation of chemical energy and the product of the chemical energy in terms of Vinyanadhatu, Chakhu Vinyanadhatu. These two are coming together. So, Vinyanadhatu is something like the light. Kamit energy is something like electrical energy. Both are continuing the function. They are transforming at the eye. At the eye. What we call it? Chakhu Prasada. Chakhu Prasada. Chakhu Prasada is the place where we saw in modern way the retina, on the retina, the focal point of the light falling on the retina, that point is called fovea. So that is that place we call in our Buddhist word, that is Chakhu Prasada. See, Chakhu Prasada is nothing but point. So one thing we have to think about it. There is the place which is not regarding the head of the light. See? Not regarding the head of the light. This is the very important samsya, rupa. So there is the point. So that is functioning for seeing the material side from the physical side. That is the point. 2,500 years ago, Buddha explained that there is a point. See? Walking is that way, or seeing. See? The sight is just like you, just the head of the light. So now, physiologists can point out that. So, the fovea, the size of fovea is not bigger than the size of the head of the light, because that's it, the head of the brain and so on. So wonderful thing is. So, physiologists can explain about this, say about 100 years or so, after studying that. But 2,500 years ago, Buddha has explained there is the point, there is the structure in the eye, this is body, Sakupasada. Sakupasada is really what is foreseen. So the thing is, we can understand the nature of Sabhinita Nyana. This can explain since 2000 years ago. Now scientists can explain exactly the same truth, the same thing, and the same function. So this is wonderful thing for us. So that the same way in our heart, in our ears. Mm-hmm. So for hearing, just like the comb. See that? So yeah, we call it cochlea. Yeah, the physiologist call it cochlea. Inside the cochlea, there is the cochlea is just the spiraling one, and filled with the liquid. But that is also divided by the one layer inside that. That is called the organ of cortex. See that? On the organ of cortex, there are the hairs that we have. The hairs are in the medium of liquid. At the root of the hair and the hair, there are sensory nerves. And then when the tongue waves strike or vibrate the liquid, they move the hair to and fro, so by mechanical force. So the hair transforms into electrical impulses and transmitted to the audio center. So this is the physiologic explanation. But Buddha explained that these are very fine hairs to produce condition of sound for hearing. So, the thing is, such a delicate thing inside the brain, inside the ear, in the cochlea, these nerves are really working for hearing, explained since 2500 years ago. So, at the present moment, scientists can explain only a few, say, 100 years or so forth. See that? So, we have we just had this kind of information, both are true, and then two things are exactly the same. The only thing is, 2500 years ago, Anasambhuja explained the nature of the structure of this body, and then the geologist also explained the same thing. So that is a wonderful thing for us. And then Anasambhuja explained according to our theory, because of his and then physiologists by their experiment and so on. So the truth is there. See? We find it. So the way of the truth, what we are learning from our literature is very good for us, because the present scientists supplying the necessary information to know about our literature more and more details. So that's good for us. Amen? So, when we come to the point of a function, physical function as well as body function, physical function and mental function. Yeah. Our body we usually explain the moment to moment change of the mind. Yeah? So each and every moment of mind has its own task, its own meaning. Yeah? So one course of performance, this is called the track of the mind. Wiki. Now that track or that wiki, when it is occurring at the eye, we call Chakudwara Wiki. So there are 17 moments of mental occurrences. Yeah? So the Akita Bonga, Bonga Selena, Bonga Chakobichira, these are existing ones. and then it becomes a footstool or stool of consciousness. Yeah? And then after that, consciousness of the consciousness of type. Yeah? And that can be the chakku vinyana dhatu. Chakku vinyana dhatu is exactly occurring at the retina, the adipubia. So when we try to analyze the nature of functioning from the physical side as well as the mental side. But I try to explain from our side here. After Chakku Dwara Vinyana Dhatu, another Vinyana Dhatu follows. Here. So that is called receiving mind, receiving work. It's a doing for receiving the Chakku work, the image of the Chakku Dwara Vinyana. Here. After receiving the third mind, analyze, and then decide, see, the picture, and then follow the javana, the seven movements of mind, seven javanas, see, these javanas are at 40, the seeing, at 14, they are trying the process of the performance of seeing, even. And then altogether in the Dharamana is just 2 weeks exhausted. These 70 mental moments of watching. That is our outside. That is the explanation of our outside. Even. Mental watch us doing. From the physical point of view, the physiologists are explaining the process of seeing. When light energy coming into our eyes, they get the photon of light energy, get in touch with the fovea. Inside the fovea, there are cells. These are photosensitive cells. So there are two kinds of photosensitive cells. One is called rod, according to the shape. The other kind is called cone, according to the shape. And mostly in the fovea, the number of cones are more than short. And then the work of cones, separation of color, see, blue and the red or yellow and so on. As for the rods, they differentiate between black and white. See, they are the attack. So, when they receive the energy of photon, see, they get the chemical change. When they have the chemical change, they produce chemical energy. So the point is, mental energy or mental movement, mind is working with the physical energy. See? That energy is only chemical energy. See that? At that moment, mind and physical body working together from the mental side, we call Chakku Vinyana Dhatu. When Chakku Vinyana Dhatu is really occurring, physical side, these thoughts and cones are performing the chemical change and producing chemical energy. This chemical energy is the energy of mind working together at the very at the same moment. After that, after receiving the image, see, the Chakku Vinyana Dhatu turn over to the next moment of mind and receiving. Now, physiologists explain that this chemical energy and this chemical energy transform into electrical energy. And then, in the form of electrical impulses, send messages through the optical nerve, through the occipital center. In the occipital center, the brain cells are receiving the data, the electrical impulses. See that? The brain receiving. See? Now, physical process also But she has a message, yes, from the eye. See? At this, occipital nerve. To the point. See? At the eye, from the mental process, there is Chakku Vinyana Dhatu. After Chakku Vinyana Dhatu, there is the meaning of man to see the image of Chakku Vinyana Dhatu. See that? So the time receiving, mind are also receiving the same process, and physical sensing also receiving the protein data from the eye to the occipital lobe. See that? Occipital lobe is also watching the feeling of receiving the electrical impulses. This is the first step. After receiving that impulses, it, after receiving the data, it process. See? They put the data into their own form. See? Data processing. Data processing, data analyzing, and so on. See? These physical functions are working at the occipital lobe. See that? Now from our the abhidhamma also, samkirtana, receiving, minded analysis, and samkirtana. See that? And then also, vatthavana. These are mental works doing. And then physical works are also doing that the occipital lobe. In the form of electrical impulses, they receive the messages, they present the data, analyze the data, and so on. So, what I am trying to do? Two functions. One is physical, in the form of electrical impulses. The other from our side, the mental, in the form of the different modes of functioning or different works, keeping every mind of mind, see? So receiving the double testing and so on, this is also Tantrikana, Tantrikana, Uttarana and so on. So after doing all these things, the occipital lobe refers to the visual center. So visual center receives the message there and it performs the engagement of sight. And then from our the abhidhamma also, seven process of sravana, mind, see that? 14 process, watching there. See? So this is only the portion, see, this is the portion of mental and physical processes. Oh, number one, they are going on and on. Now the point is, this is called the Chakshu Dwara Vichi, the track of the mental process, as well as the track of physical process. You see the point now? Now, up to that point, see, that only performing the meeting of feeling, or that only patient. See that? Patient is visual impression. Visual impression is combination of two things. One is mental sight. The other is the image. The image supplied by the eye, as well as the light and the object. They combine together and form the image. That image combined with the mind make it the sensation of sight or seeing. So, now, the important point is, up to that moment, see, up to that moment, up to that process, only impression of seeing. Is this point now? Yeah, impression of seeing has been got any eye, any self, any person, according to our theory. You see the point? Yeah. So at that moment, all that 17 of mind track, see, and seeing process, only performing fiery object like an eye, and the same time the process of Saku in another Rudamplik in Atadivana, and so on. He has kept working mental strife as well as the physical strife going together. So, what we are going to stress the important point. See? This is real function of physical body and mental body stood together. So there is no personal self in it. There's no personal self in it. So up to this stage, this vestige when you want to use in terms of the Western word, non-dual, there is no two person or no thing. Although mind and body are working together, no person appears. See? No person appears, the same time, no person of the object or of the person. See? So no external object and no internal here. Just only the process. Just only the process of seeing and the interaction of seeing for it. See that? So at that moment or at that section, that is non-dual system. See? Non-dual system. So up to this moment, so we would like to analyze, see, our Buddhist Abhidhamma with the supply of the knowledge of the physiological function of the eye, optical nerve, and optical lobe, and the visual center, and so on. They are working together, the work of seeing, impression of seeing, so up to that point, see, there is no personal self is involving. See? Therefore, we call it non-dual. No external or no internal. That's the process is going on. Okay? So if we can clear the point from our point of view, non-dual moment of pushing, it's a very, very short. Be very, very short, because according to our interpretation or calculation, so within the wing of eye, see, very, very short moment, and then at that such a short moment, trillions of mental moments passing away. So only 17 out of the trillion. See, the mental movement is very, very short. Although they are very, very short, they are real. See, they are real. They are real. And then that reality is having caught any personal self in it. See that? That is our way of interpretation. Non-dual is the pushing only. See that? So this call, this is the attack. This kind of 17 minutes of mental circuit, and as well as the physical circuit, like one, just like the electronic circuit, electronic cycle. See, that is a short circuit. This is called Nipaka Wutta. See, that's it. Nipaka Wutta. Wutta is the running circuit order, it's a weak Wutta. And then resulting like that. Because the primary supplier of energy is Brahma. And then external sunlight coming into this body, and then the eye or the receiver receiving the external images, and then it supplies the to the necessary nerves themselves to perform the work for formation of image. Along with that, mental process are working just like that Sita Bonda, Bonda Selena, Bonda Sita, and Vendada Rawajan, and then Saku Onina Tadu, and Sitina, and Tirina, Utana, and Jamana, and so on. So, all these mental movements, one after another, all completely are carried away. At the one complete function of the impression of the tongue. So, up to that point, there is no personal self which involves me. The natural process I was performing, the supplier of energy is coming in our dreams. See? Yeah, coming in our dreams is working. So, that coming in our dreams, with the help of the physical and completeness, and producing one moment after another, and that's going on and on. So this is the first kind of the subject in our poem. This is called the Vipaka Buddha. So in this evening, if we can discuss up to this stage, that will be clear and good enough for us. So we will continue next time. So up to this. So please share something.
Yeah, this was really very interesting exposition of that what happens during the moment of perception. Yes, only one minute.
Yeah.